Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. The Administration for Native Americans is an agency within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. It provides grants for community projects and other resources that promote self-sufficiency for tribes. Jeannie Hovland is commissioner of the Administration for Native Americans. She's from South Dakota and an enrolled member of the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe. She talked with me last week about her work with the ANA and her role in the White House task force examining the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people. Here's our conversation.
I am Lakota and Dakota, and I'm a member of the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe, born and raised in South Dakota. I began my work with Senator Thune shortly after he was elected in 2005. And Native American Outreach and Tribal Affairs Advisor. And that I did for almost 13 years and spent a lot of time in our nine tribal communities, tribal nations in South Dakota, meeting with tribal leadership, tribal program directors, educators, healthcare. I would ride with the tribal law enforcement evening shifts to really see what our law enforcement officers go through and deal with every day. So I spent as much time in our tribal communities as possible during those 13 years. It was an honor. It was a privilege. I learned so much being in the communities that I would have never learned from school, from college. I agree that they're very important, but just what an honor and a blessing it is to be able to spend that time with some of the most amazing leaders in our nation and people and elders and treaty committees. I'd be like, wow, people from all over the world would love the opportunity to meet with our tribal elders and see the beautiful culture. And here it is right here in South Dakota. I then was nominated by President Trump in November of 2017 as Commissioner of the Administration for Native Americans. I was confirmed by the Senate in June of 2018 by unanimous consent. So I sold my house and I moved to Washington, D.C., and I've been there a little over 2 years now. And so it just broadened my perspective on just the Native communities that we have all over the country. We have 574 federally recognized tribes, over 50 state recognized tribes, all of which I have the honor to serve in this position, as well as Native Hawaiian population and the Native Pacific Basin population. And so I spent my first year getting acclimated with the different communities across the nation, asking what they would like me to formulate for priorities as their commissioner. And there was a lot, you know, like tribal economies, economic development was always important, but always at the top of the conversations was the ask to recognize the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I'd heard that throughout the years with the senator's office, continued just nationally and even in our Pacific regions. Human trafficking, missing and murdered. I heard so many stories over the years of family members that had been gone. And it was just like there was no call to action. They would formulate their own search parties. Sometimes they were found. Sometimes they were found okay. Sometimes they were found deceased. And it was just devastating. And just the feeling of being invisible and not having the response that we felt many get outside of tribal communities when somebody goes missing or is murdered. So that I have several roles. I wear several hats in this position. So, and interrupt me anytime.
Okay.
I love what I do, and it's just so much to talk about.
Yeah. Well, maybe then, if we pause before we get into your role, and for I'll be honest, I'm not super familiar with the ANA and what it does. So maybe prime us first on that level.
Okay. Sure. the Administration for Native Americans is housed under the umbrella of the Department of Health and Human Services, which has many layers. So then it would be under the Administration for Children and Families. So you have HHS at the top. You have Administration for Children and Families, which is the human services side. And ANA falls under Administration for Children and Families. So ANA provides discretionary funding to eligible tribes. And we have three funding program areas. The first is the Social and Economic Development Strategies funding. And that funding is very flexible. Tribes can use it for job creation and economic development. We have a lot of farm-to-table projects. They can use it to address murdered and missing Native Americans, human trafficking, so social or economic development. We do not tell tribes what to do with the funding. They come in and let us know how they want to use it, and we support that with the funding and technical assistance. And that is of the three program areas, that is the funding area that we have the most grants under. And then we have our native language programs, and that is to revitalize and restore our native languages. And then our third program area is our environmental regulatory enhancement funding. So those are our three program areas. Our funding is currently open for applications. We extended it because of COVID pandemic. So the social and economic developments is open until July 15th, and then the languages and environmental is open until July 1st. I do have a brand new funding initiative that I, as commissioner, have created that should be announced in the coming days or weeks, and that is called SEDSGO, Social and Economic Development Strategies, so SEDS, and then Growing Organizations. And this came from my years working with the senator's office, hearing about how our tribes that have the highest need and need the funding the most often can't compete with other tribes that have successful economies, so they're able to hire grants writers, they're able to have accounting departments where the accountant isn't wearing several other hats. They have that capacity. And so our tribes that really need the funding often don't have that, aren't able to compete. And then if they do receive funding, because of all the bureaucracy and red tape that comes with the funding, it's hard to keep it in compliance. So the SEDS Growing Organization are for tribes to build their internal capacity, their internal controls, and to help them to be able to compete for federal funds, private sector funds, and be able to be successful with their funding.
Great. Now that we have kind of that overview of the work that the ANA does, you started to talk about a lot of the different hats that you wear as commissioner. Tell us some of that.
So as commissioner, the Administration for Native Americans, I should say, was authorized by the Native American Programs Act in 1974. So that's our authorizing legislation. And it created ANA and the commissioner. And the commissioner is to be an effective and visible advocate for Native Americans within the Department of Health and Human Services and other federal agencies. So that role, in order to do so, NAPA, this Native American Programs Act, created the Secretary of Health and Human Services Interdepartmental Council on Native American Affairs, which is comprised of all HHS leadership. And as commissioner, I chair this council. So priorities and budgets that affect Native Americans are to be part of this interdepartmental council, that we help develop those priorities and budgets that affect Native Americans. So this plays into the role of the murdered and missing Native Americans, having this be across HHS, not just ANA, as we tackle this issue and all of our issues throughout HHS.
So that brings us to the Operation Lady Justice Task Force related to this. Tell us some of the key goals with that, and then also I know the task force has just wrapped up some listening sessions to that. But first, talk to us maybe just generally about the goals for the task force.
Okay, so this was established by executive order by President Trump in November, and it's co-chaired Attorney General Barr and Secretary Bernhardt from Interior are the co-chairs of the task force. And then I was selected to as a task force member to represent the Department of Health and Human Services. That, again, is because of my role as chair of the Interdepartmental Council. So my role, you know, the task force looks a lot at cold cases, law enforcement, crimes, but also they broaden the lens to include education and community support. And that is the role of Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay. When I was reading about this, I wasn't clear on if the goal of the task force was like research and compiling information, if it's coming up with policy ideas, all of the above.
It's looking at this from how do we prove, why are our people, our Native American people, susceptible to going missing and being murdered? So how do we go upstream and prevent it? Well, first we have to understand that. So that's where HHS, what we are doing is looking at our high-risk vulnerable populations, Native American populations that we already provide services to. So those we've identified as individuals with substance abuse issues, mental health issues, intellectual and physical disabilities. Our elders have been targeted because of the opioid crisis and people breaking in looking for prescription drugs. Our elders are also raising grandchildren and great-grandchildren because of either substance use issues, or they have a family member that's missing or been deceased or been murdered. So they've asked how can we support our elders that are raising young children again, but also an increase in break-ins into their homes because of prescription drugs. So we look at how do we strengthen those vulnerable populations? How do we support them? And then how do we help them and their families heal and their communities when they have somebody that has come home that's been victimized or has been murdered? That is what our tribes asked for. They said, we need HHS to help. We need you to help us keep our family members from going missing. We need you to help us support our communities when we're devastated. So that leads me to the next hat that I have, which is, so I'm commissioner, it's a dual role. I'm also deputy assistant secretary for Native American Affairs for the Administration for Children and Families. And this is key to what we are doing here. So ACF has 10 programs, 9 of which provide services to Native communities or Native citizens. They're the human services side, and there is a lot of vulnerable populations that we serve under ACF. The Family Youth Services Bureau that provides funding for runaway and homeless youth, victims of domestic violence, and we're finding domestic violence and murdered and missing are really closely correlated, and their families. Mm-hmm. If they flee their abuser and they have children, then it makes everybody vulnerable. As well as our children in the foster care system and the welfare system, and human trafficking victims. We have the Office on Trafficking in Persons that's under Administration for Children and Families. And I had already been working as Deputy Assistant Secretary on developing a framework for vulnerable populations, of which I just listed. Right. Domestic violence victims, runaway and homeless youth, domestic violence victims, LGBTQ. And so how do we which is such a challenge, within our agencies work outside of silos? How do we break down the silos, bring our services together so that it's easy to access, that those that we serve aren't feeling so overwhelmed, having to fill out paperwork, go several different days, different appointments, different caseworkers? How do we take away some of those challenges and frustrations? And so we've been looking at one-stop shop, supporting them in our Native communities, integration of our services, and expanding that throughout HHS now as we look at strengthening our vulnerable populations that are high risk of being missing, becoming missing, or ending up murdered. So working on human trafficking is part of the vulnerable populations.
All I can think is it's a heavy responsibility and mm-hmm. such a such a large thing. Even I can imagine even focusing on South Dakota and all of the communities here, that's a large enough plate to have full, but then to look on a national scale, how do you even
where do you start?
Right.
yes. Oh, believe me. And that's where it needs to start in the communities. It needs to start in the homes, individuals, families, communities. Our responsibility with the federal government is to provide the tools and the support.
Can you talk a little bit about some of what you may have heard in those listening sessions through the task force recently?
Yes, absolutely. The need to look at human trafficking and bringing in education to the communities on what human trafficking is what are the resources to help and to help the survivors of human trafficking when they're coming back to the communities to have services, law enforcement, the need for additional law enforcement, but also to have trauma-informed and trained law enforcement. When a person goes missing, it's not necessarily a crime, so it hasn't always been a law enforcement issue. But that is now being looked at through law enforcement and this task force on reporting and following up when somebody is missing. Some people might want to go missing if they're escaping an abusive situation or for some other reason might not want people to know where they are. So that's one that we are working on. How do we address this? There may not be a perfect solution. Another issue is just data in general. We are looking at it from the Department of Health and Human Services on the screening side for vulnerable populations. We want to get education out there that it is important when professionals and programs that are seeing clients that may be domestic violence victims, human trafficking victims, runaway homeless youth, that they have that option at screening where they have them, they're able to identify, are you American Indian or Alaska Native? In many off the reservation, non-Native communities, often there isn't that option even for that race base. It'll have Caucasian or other, or have Caucasian, Hispanic. Or if it does have Caucasian, Native American, and they mark more than one race, it defaults to Caucasian. So just educating on how can we get this information? It would be aggregated data, so it would not share any details about who the person is and keep that confidential. But it would be helpful for us to understand the trends of why are so many of our Native people missing? Why are they being murdered? What exactly are we looking at for homeless, for runaway, for domestic violence victims in our Native population? What are those numbers?
You've been listening to my conversation with Commissioner Jeannie Hovland of the Administration for Native Americans. Our conversation continues after a short break when we look at key issues here in South Dakota. You're in the moment on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. Jeannie Hovland is Commissioner of the Administration for Native Americans. She talked with me last week about that work and her work with the White House Task Force on Missing and Murdered Indigenous People. Here's the rest of that conversation.
What do you see in your work, both your experience in those 13 years through Senator Thune's office and in your current position, and also just, you know, being born and raised in South Dakota and being aware of kind of the atmosphere here, I guess you could say. In your mind, what are some of the really key issues facing Native communities in South Dakota?
I think my experience has been in South Dakota, many of our South Dakotans are really not informed on what is taking place in our tribal communities. Probably they hear about, you know, suicide rates, but, you know, the amount of homicides, the missing, the murdered, and just even the positive things taking place in our tribal communities,
right.
The beautiful culture that's in our communities. I feel that there's still that disconnect between our tribal communities and the surrounding communities. And I think I want to believe that not just in South Dakota, but nationwide, that whether you're Native or not, many would want to see an end to the missing and murdered Native American issue if they, one, knew about it, and two, knew how they could help. I really do think that a lot of it is just lack of awareness in general, and even knowing that this is an issue. What do you think about that? Had you heard much about this issue?
As far as the missing and murdered yes. issue, I've been aware of it. I've seen the hashtags. I have coworkers who've done the work on it or done stories on it. So I'm aware of it, but kind of diving into those particularly mm-hmm. at-risk populations like you just went through and all of those kind of overlapping issues really hadn't put all of those pieces together.
Well, and that's much further than a lot of folks I run into in states that have tribal communities. Mm-hmm. You know more than what I've run into and what we're taught in school.
Exactly.
I just think that there's a lot of education and relationship building between our tribes and our non-native communities that need to happen yet.
Right.
And, you know, just, I have an op-ed coming out in Fortune magazine on this issue. It's you doing this, Kello's doing something on it, Fortune is doing this on it. It's being recognized now as this is not just a Native American issue. This is an American crisis. And I am so appreciative of getting the word out about this in a way that is, how can we work together? How can we provide tools to anybody that wants to help with this, whether you're Native or not, whether you have been to a Native community or not, you have a role to play in this. Many of our missing and murdered Native Americans, we are finding out, are in urban settings when that happens.
Right.
And so, you know, in the human trafficking, we have tools that we've created that are free, that are available to really educate what is human trafficking, because people still have that perception of the movies, the Liam Neeson movies, where you have some stranger come in, snatch you, take you to a foreign country. Does that happen? Yes, it does. But more often than not, it's people that you know, people in your community, people that you trust, that prey on your vulnerabilities. Yeah. And people not really understanding human trafficking and still thinking of prostitution. So we have a lot of ways to educate, not just community members, but programs, federal officials, law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. With these listening sessions, I believe done or close to done for this initial kind of leg of the task force. What's next in that work?
We'll have another listening session in Montana in July. Mm-hmm. Actually, that will be consultation. So we have some directives. One will be a year report that we'll issue to the president from our consultations with recommendations. Also, HHS, we are going to be working on community education. And so we'll be working on, hopefully after things settle with the COVID, going into the communities and hearing not just hearing, but also providing education on these issues, these vulnerable populations, with law enforcement, hearing from those that are on the front lines in this communities. So there's a lot of work ahead of us. And then at the end of, in 2 years, there's a final report that will be issued to the president on this. So there are definitely deliverables that we're looking at. And if you go to Operation Lady Justice website, you can follow our activities. Any deliverables that we'll be producing will be on there also. We have some other things on the horizon that we'll be announcing in the near future. And a lot of activities ahead. Okay. But compiling what we've heard, coming up with a response to address some of those barriers that we've heard, mm-hmm. Looking at resources that we'll need to look at in each of our agencies. There will be some legislative issues that are out of our jurisdiction that will be, you know, in the report also. But data, again, is going to be one of the bigger areas to tackle.
Right. I'm looking forward to keeping a closer eye on that and watching as those reports come out.
Well, thank you.
The last question I have is really just kind of in closing, what... If there's anything that I didn't ask that you wish I had, or anything that you want to make sure to leave a South Dakota audience with to keep in mind, the floor is yours to kind of close things out.
Well, Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I would just say that to remember that this is an issue for all to be informed on, to be aware of, and to, you know, work together to address this, to stop this, to understand what human trafficking is, to have these conversations. I've heard from our youth, like, they want to be involved in these solutions. They want to be having these conversations in their families, in their communities. They want to have positive activities and gatherings in our communities. And so just really, we'll provide the resources and the tools to be able to talk about these tough issues, but to be having these conversations in homes and in the communities. We need to be aware, we need to be informed, we need to know how to keep our children and our community safe. And we can't do that if we aren't talking about these issues. Family members and communities don't have to be alone. We can help provide tools and resources and be part of those conversations if they'd like.